Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Lineup with Dave Prodan. I'm Dave Prodan, and this is a re-air of one of our very first episodes, episode 4, I think, with now reigning world champion and three-time defending Rio CT winner Felipe Toledo. As my part-time co-host for this season, Mitch Salazar, and I discussed on last week's episode, Felipe has the opportunity to be the first surfer, men's or women's, to go four times back-to-back-to-back-to-back at a CT venue should he win in Saquarema this week, which is very cool stuff. Mitch and I will be back next week following the completion of the event, but for now, please make sure you check out the conclusion of the Vivo Rio Pro this week in Saquarema on worldsurfleague.com and the WSL app, and please also enjoy the lineup's conversation with a pre-world champion, Felipe Toledo.
The good old clap, take one.
That's right.
How many of you knew what you wanted to be when you were 7 years old?
I did. I wanted to be a world champion.
Hey, is there honesty involved in this podcast? Can we be honest?
We can shut your lips.
And then I'll just say, put them up once. Let's go.
He's like, you look too pretty on the wave. Get ugly.
We can talk about DMT if you want.
I thought you were boxing.
Okay, so I started with the ASP in 2006, and I was in North America. So like all the North America events were a big deal, and the media was a big deal. And I remember in 2011 going to the US Open and the Pro Junior Final having John Florence, Connor Coffin, Kolohe Andino, and this kid that no one knew, Felipe Toledo. He had awesome painted boards.
Yep.
And he smoked everybody. But tell me the story of that week when you beat everybody.
Wow, that was actually super funny. It was interesting because I was, at that time, I was sponsored by Billabong. And then I had like 6 months with no sticker on the nose on my board. And, you know, we're having conversations with different sponsors. And we ended up signing up with Nike at the time. So I was like, because from Ubatuba to São Paulo is like 4 hour drive. So like we drove 4 hours, got in São Paulo on Friday. We signed a contract. On Saturday, I was flying to California, you know, for the US Open. My first time ever in California. And so I got there and I was meeting all these people from Nike, you know, like big bosses and, you know, like athletes. I remember it was actually first time I met Laura Never, Carissa Moore, you know, Julian Wilson, Nat Young, all these guys. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, man, it's right here is the big deal. And I got the wild card for the junior and for the pro as well. And I could barely speak English at that time. You know, just, hi, I want a coffee, cheeseburger, and Coca-Cola. That's it.
Essentials.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. So, yeah, I got there. I was staying with Scooby and Alejo. And, you know, it was my first heat. So nervous. New sponsor. All the bosses were over there. You know, at that time was sponsored by Nike, the event. And first heat, I surfed kind of well. And then, you know, by the end, I was needing a score with, you know, 30 seconds. I took off in a wave and just went for a big air, you know, backhand air, and landed, got the score. You know, everyone was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And then since that first heat too, I got to the semifinal. Every time I turned the heat with like a minute, 30 seconds, 45 seconds in the end, you know, like it was just so excited every time, you know, the heat. And it was, and then I got in the final with, you know, the three big names of, you know, North America, Kolohe, John, and Connor. And at that time, you know, like I knew those guys and they're like, oh, that's Kolohe, that's, you know, John and Connor, but it was not something that I was like, oh my God, like Mick Fanny, like, you know, Andy Irons, you know, it was not something really huge for me. I was like, okay, yeah, I know they're surf really
good.
You
could beat them.
Yeah, I know, you know, they're pretty big names, but I mean, I got this, you know. I was like, I was really excited, and it was fun, you know. Like Kolohe started really well, I think, and then John got a wave and I got one on the inside. Not through like a big air and landed. And on the way back, I got another insider, you know, that gave me the same ramp, another big air, and got a pair of sevens, I think. And the best part of it was like when I was in the podium, you know, got the trophy. And I remember the time, I think it was Dave. I think he was doing the
Dave
the,
Stanfield.
Yes. Yep. And he asked me, now I know why he asked me, you know, he was like, oh yeah, can you tell us about, you know, like, how was your travel? How was your journey to get here? You know, like, how's your week? You know, like, how's the new sponsor and how's, you know, like, to beat all these guys in the final? And as I said, I could barely speak English. I didn't even understand a word he asked me. I was like, I had a phrase already in my mind what I was going to say. I was like, thank you so much for everyone. I'm super stoked. And what did I say? And then I was like, thank my sponsors and thank you, my family. That was it. And everyone started laughing so hard. I was like, whoa. Okay, you know, I didn't even understand what was going on. But that was funny. You know, that was probably the main event, you know, for me to like to show up in the international media.
I mean, do you look back and think that that week like transformed your entire life in a lot of ways?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. First time I actually did an interview in English. You know,
it's funny you say that. I mean, I don't really know of any instance where, like, so say like it was reversed and John or Kolohe or Connor went to Sao Paulo and won, like, you know, they wouldn't ask them the question in Portuguese.
Yeah.
But it's different, right?
It's, you know, it's English, you know, it's global language and, you know, everyone's got to speak English.
Yeah,
we're going to try to change that, you know, since we're majority on tour right now, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because this came up. I was talking to one of the elder Australian statesmen from the industry and he was really praising Brazil, you know, obviously. And we're asking about the Australian class on tour right now. And his opinion was, well, you know, it actually took like 30 years for Brazil to lay the groundwork to have the Brazilian storm. You know, Flavio and Neco and those guys really laid the track for you guys to come on and come on in such a big way. You know, is that something you guys think about?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, if it wasn't by all these guys, Fabio, Flavio, and, you know, even Neco, you know, that was on tour. And, you know, all these guys, you know, they opened the door for us to be here today. And, you know, it was different times, you know, like at that time they were just, you know, surfing, you know, it was not something really professional or something that you needed to train and, you know, get really focused. And it was just for fun, you know, they're making money out of it and just partying and, you know, traveling places and just enjoying the moment. And then, you know, once we got, you know, our chances, we're like, well, okay, it's, you know, it's different. You know, we can actually live, you know, from that, from surfing. We can buy a house. We can, you know, get our family together. You know, it was something bigger. You know, we understood that. And, you know, we were just like, okay, let's do it. Let's make it happen. You know, let's train, let's focus, you know, and let's, you know, enjoy this. But at the same time, like, take it super serious, you know, because there was only one chance for us, I think, you know, to really go over there and, you know, and win and get all the sponsors and get opportunities. And because coming from Brazil, all those guys, they didn't have any opportunities. You know, it was always super hard for them to get a major sponsor, like a really big sponsor that was going to support them the whole year, or different equipment, you know, like a brand new board or a brand new leash and all this, you know, these little things that today we have. So, yeah, I think that's why we're taking more in a professional way, you know.
When I started on tour, it was 05, 06. And it's kind of like you go to a new school and it's the cafeteria and like no one wants to eat with the new kid.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like, you know, at night or in the morning, you'd rock up and be like, Kelly, move over. Like, let's share a milkshake together or something. Like, and at the time, Adriano was on tour and Heitor and Neco.
Okay.
And I got really close with them.
Yeah.
Like, because they were really open to it and they had really interesting stories. And I feel like at the time, most of the surfing world wasn't paying attention to it, you know? And it's one of those things that I think the information age, like the internet, everything, if you think 25 years ago, the only time you'd get to see world-class surfing was when the tour came to town.
Yep.
And now everyone has access to training, shaping, equipment. They get to see the world's best surfers all the time. So the development, regardless of where you're from, is about the same. And so the point of difference really becomes like motivation, right? And I think that's, would you agree that that's like a big thing for why Brazil's been so successful?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. It's a good example of that. It's Jadson, you know, he's, you know, he has a family of what, 9 people, you know, that he has to take care of.
Yeah.
House and, you know, bills and put food in their houses. And, you know, it's that big thing that motivates Jetson to, you know, re-qualify to back-to-back years and,
yeah.
you know, do the QSs, been in the road forever and do the CTs and go here and go over there. And, you know, like it takes a lot from you, you know. It is the dream tour. It's amazing to be in the tour, go beautiful places, but it takes a lot from you, you know. And to be doing that for so many years, you know, like Adriano, like Jetty, you know, Raoni did, Neko,
yeah.
you know, all these guys. It was definitely something behind them, you know, motivating them. You know, like family or it was just a kid or, you know, just a house or a build that he needed to pay. You know, it was like,
yeah.
even if it was like really small, but it was just like, that's my chance right there. You know, like one heat, you know, I can pay the bill and have a little extra money to make it to another contest. You know, that was the main thing.
And it's funny you say that. Like, I think that hunger is like maybe the most important characteristic. And if you look back at all the world champs, like men's and women's for like 43 years, none of them necessarily came from a lot. You know, I remember even in Kelly Slater's book, like he would talk about his early years on tour and he'd be like, wow, if I make another heat, I can buy like a couch
for
my house, you know, like, and it's a huge thing.
It sounds real, so small. It's just a couch, but it's just like, it's my opportunity, you know, like to make that heat and get a really good couch from it, from a house. That's, you know, I think still like that nowadays, you know, even though like, you see Gabriel, like millions of followers. Even me got, you know, a couple thousand of followers. It's just like, oh, okay, he got sponsors and everything. But we still have a life, you know, bills to pay and everything. So that's why we, you know, I think the Brazilian storm has been so successful in, you know, in everything.
For sure. And your dad's a great surfer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, not today. But
but he's been national champ, right?
Yeah, I was like 2-3 times Brazilian champ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So dad got you into surfing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that put me on the surfboard with 9 months.
9 months.
Yeah, I was like,
all right, so everyone listening to this, that's the standard.
But he didn't, it's funny because he didn't force it us to be like surfer, you know, cuz I surf, my younger brother surfs, my older brother surfs, and she didn't force anything, you know, on us. We're like, okay, let's go beach day. We had a ball. We had, you know, like all those other toys. And we had a surfboard as well.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we wanted to play with the surfboard.
Yeah.
It was there, you know.
We see it a lot. I'm sure you've seen it a lot too. And as surfing gets bigger, you see a lot of parents really pushing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to surf. You have to surf. Yeah. And you're a father now too. And so am I, you know. And it's one of those things where it's like, I've seen it go bad so many times. It's like, if you don't want to surf, that's okay.
Yeah, kid gets like 12 years of age, he goes like, I hate surfing.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Of course, yeah.
Because you're pushing way too hard.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do anything else, like soccer or anything?
I try to do everything.
Yeah.
With them, you know, they took them to swim class, to play guitar, to soccer, volleyball, whatever they want to do, you know. Like,
yeah.
They see things on TV or, you know, just on YouTube thing, you know, just watching. And it's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to go dance. It's like, yeah, let's go. You know,
yeah,
just
yeah.
take them to classes everywhere, whatever they want to do. I mean, you know, I'm not here to force them to like, no, I'm always a surfer. You got to be a surfer. You got to be a surfer. Of course, I was going to be really happy if they're surfers. You know?
Of course.
You know, but.
What about when you were a kid? Did you ever have anything else that? Maybe not distracted, but you were like, maybe I'll be a soccer player. Maybe I'll do this.
Yeah, I used to play soccer every day.
What was your position?
Every day. I was always in the front. You know, I was always
fast.
Trying to score. But, you know, because where I used to live, we had like a little, you know, a soccer field. Small one.
Mm.
It was just like the guys from, you know, this little, it was like 4 or 6 streets that everyone was so tied together, you know. Every day is like go to houses, calling everyone to go play soccer or, you know, just walk around and do things. And it was something really fun. Sometimes I was like, no, I'm not surfing today. I'm just playing soccer, you know.
Sure.
It was just something fun. And my dad wasn't forcing me. And I think that's why, you know, it turned out to be so natural for me to like, oh, okay. One day I was like, whoa, you know, this feeling is like it's something different, you know,
right.
that soccer doesn't give me.
Yeah.
So I'm like. Okay, we're out there. Let's go. I'm a surfer.
Yeah.
WSLStore.com is powered by Shopify.
We love the analytics we can check on the go. A lot of us are addicted to checking the Shopify app on our phones. We also love the automations and marketing integrations with our social and YouTube channels. It has incredible features to help us manage our global audience, including international taxation support and great shipping optionality. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lineup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/lineup now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/lineup.
And so you become a sir, and you're right. Like that, it hooks you and it's like, this is different than anything else I got. So I'm going to do this forever, whether I'm a professional or not.
Yeah.
Walk me through that feeling to realizing you were really good to being like, this could be my career. Like what did that look like for you?
So, I think there was like two times of my life that I remember, one was like, I was about 7 or 8 years old and I was competing on the amateur events in São Paulo state, and I won like 2 or 3 events, and then it was like 4 events, total, and then I got second in the last one, and I still won the rankings and everything, so I was a champion. Like under 10. Mm. I was like, oh, that's cool, I want to be a surfer, At that time, I was like, okay, I want to be a surfer. That's for sure. And then, all those years went by, and then I was like 15 to 16 years old. I did my first professional event in Brazil. It was a national one. And, I was just making true hits, and I got in the quarterfinals. My dad goes like, okay, in the quarterfinals, if you win, I'll do like a really bad haircut, And that thing motivated me, I was like, okay, now I'm going to win. Now, man, you're done. And then I went there. I won the whole thing. It was funny because I made the semifinal with Holly Batista, which used to be in the QSs, and Luel Felipe, which is still competing nowadays. And I won that event. And that day, I was like, okay, I want to be a professional surfer.
Right.
Now, that's I'm going to start my career right here, as a professional surfer. So that day I turned out to be, a professional surfer. We went to ASP, we paid a BRASP, which was the Brazilian Association. We paid the tax and it was like, okay, now I'm a professional surfer.
What did dad's haircut look like?
He was like Ronaldo in the World Cup. Remember that? Just a little thing here in front.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, Ronaldo looked cool at the time, but not my dad.
Yeah. It's a look.
It was funny.
So at that time, you were surfing for Billabong.
I was surfing for Billabong at the time.
And what did mom and dad do at the time? Did you guys, for work, did you guys come from a lot or?
My dad worked he worked for the city, he used to be a surf teacher.
Oh, okay.
And every day from 8 to 12 and then from 2 to 6, he was working every day at the beach.
Yep.
And, so he did that for 11 years, and my mom was just, doing things at home.
Yeah,
taking care of the family. She actually helped a lot. she did like even, you know, like Brigadeiro. You know what Brigadeiro?
No.
From, you know, it's like a chocolate thing, you know, we do in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. So she used to do that to sell on the beach, you know, while my dad was working. And she did that to help. She used to, you know, buy like girl sandals and, you know, put like little rocks, you know, shiny rocks on that, you know, do a couple of designs and sell that as well. And she you know, she did a little bit of everything to help us. But my dad used, you know, to do that. And he used to be sponsor at that time as well. Just a little sponsor, like $500, you know, a month and nothing much. And then I got on Billabong really young. I was like 9, I think, or a little less. Like 8 or 9, yeah. And then, you know, just a little amount of money as well, just to help at home. And, right. You know, even that money I was using to help my mom and dad to pay, you know, a couple bills. And used to get money borrowed from my grandma, you know, and my grandpa, you know, get checks and everything to go, you know, to the contest.
Right.
And, yeah, that was pretty much it. My dad used to be a surf teacher and my mom was just a housewife.
Did it make you, how did it make you feel to be able to earn money from surfing and then give that back to the broader family to be like, cool, I'm helping.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I even talk about that with them the other day, you know, just like, I don't want you guys to feel like, you know, like pressured by me, you know, like, oh, I'm here, we're here, you know, like you're, you know, giving money for us to live here. You don't have to, you've got your family already. I'm like, you guys, I'm here because of you guys today, you know, like,
yeah.
You guys did everything you guys could for me to be here. And of course, if it wasn't you guys, I don't know what it was going to be, you know?
Of course.
And, you know, I'm like super, super proud to, you know, today help them, you know, have a really good life here in California. And, you know, they have like 2 cars. I have my car and, you know, they have a house. I have one and, you know, everything's working so good. And, you know, with all the sponsors I have too, been supporting me a lot and, you know, for me to be able to give them a really good life. And, you know, even my 2 younger brothers, my brother and my sister going to college right now, you know, doing a really good thing. It's, I was like, you know, Hino Batuba, if they finish school, what are you going to do? You know, like,
yeah,
just hanging in there with all the other kids, you know, that's staying there in Hino Batuba as well. They're, you know, every time I go back, they're in the same spot doing the same thing, you know, just like, they don't change, you know?
Yeah.
Because of course it's so hard.
Back just there. Opportunity. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's an amazing story just from the, I mean, because they're still very involved in your success as well.
Yeah.
So you guys roll really deep. And a lot of people on tour do. Like, yeah, a lot of people have really big support mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And as you said, like, cool. I don't know. Was that ever a goal or when did that become a goal for you to say, I'm going to be really good at this and I'm going to get wherever it was, I'm going to get my family to a place where they have all these opportunities?
I actually never thought about that. You know, it was just something natural that happened. You know, we went to Hawaii the year that I qualified, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I got in Hawaii and, you know, I got the news that I was on tour on the next year. And they were over there with me. And then we were just over there cruising, you know, and going around and, you know, surfing and doing, you know, the Triple Crown. And then they were like, oh, Hawaii is really cool, man. We should move to Hawaii and leave here. I was like, okay, you guys go back to Batuba, you know, I'm not leaving over there. And then, well, I went next year, I went to my dad to Australia and he goes like, oh man, Australia is so cool. We should move here. You know, it's amazing. I was like, man, you're kidding me. Like, no, that's not happening. You know, I love you, Batuba. I love being with my friends. You know, I'm not leaving. And then the middle of the year, we went to Trestle event. And then it was actually there was a CT event. So we were there and then I was like, my mom and dad was with me and I was like, oh, this place is so amazing. I think that's probably the only place that I could leave. And they were like, okay, we're moving, you know, let's go. And then next thing, 2014, we start, you know, doing all the paperwork.
Immigration process.
Oh, it takes a lot, you know, it's so many things to do and it takes a lot of time. And in 6 months, we had everything. And, you know, we came up with the idea, you know, moving the family to Bob Hurley and Brandon Gilmer at Pat O'Connell. And they were like, amazing.
Mm.
Come on, we help you guys, you know. And we're like, oh, you know, we never thought that was going to be that easy. And they were like helping us with, you know, housing, like renting a house and getting, you know, like all the paperwork and everything. So July 17, It was her first day here in California. Yeah.
You remember?
I remember that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It was right after my mom's birthday.
What a birthday present.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's a funny story about like everywhere we go on tour, your family's like, we could live here. We can live here.
Yeah.
My dad traveled for work too. And when I started traveling for the job, he was like, yeah, I traveled a lot. Like you travel a lot. Like I traveled to Cincinnati. Like everywhere you go is really nice. Like, you don't get to complain. But it's a little bit like that. Like you kind of, it is a dream tour in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, we're actually, you know, in one spot for like 2 weeks, you know, of course everything was going to be amazing. Just like, okay, 2 weeks here was amazing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, okay, now imagine here for the rest of your life, you know,
yeah,
traveling, going places. And, you know, they understand that too. They're like, okay, we can't just do that. Just go, you know, like, and then I think San Clemente, California was it was a blessing for us.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Pat O'Connell and Bob Hurley and Brandon Gilmatt, who they're integral to the Hurley program, of which you're still very much a part of, but you were one of the pillars of a really world-class Nike surfing program. And in 2011, it was maybe the biggest story of the year where those programs combined. And that happened, I think, in Hawaii in November, December. Tell us that story of A, being a part of the Nike program, and B, getting the news and joining the Hurley family.
Yeah, it was, as you said, you know, it was a world-class program, you know, being with Nike, it was only, you know, just a few athletes. I remember me, Nat Young, Julian, Alejo.
Chloe.
Chloe was, yeah, he was over there at the time. I think it was just, you know, just a few surfers, not many people. And then we got the news, you know, everything was combining, everyone's going to be in the same team as, you know, Hurley, major sponsor. And, you know, it was just like, okay, well, you know, I'm still here. You know, I'm still having the sticker on the nose on my board. I'm still with the contract and everything. And I mean, it didn't really change for me that much. You know, it was just extra teammates, you know, for me. But it was definitely, you know, a year that I spent with Nike being like really, really amazing.
Sure.
Like another level of treatment, you know, like just as you said, world class. It was really cool.
How do you get along with your teammates at Hurley, or I guess, and even other programs like Sharp Eye or Monster or whatever? Hurley's probably the most appropriate one because it's such a big international team. Do you get competitive with them for results or clips, or is it more kind of friendly? Like, how do you guys get along?
No, it's pretty easy, actually. You know,
maybe for you.
No, not for the other ones, maybe, you know, but I mean, I just, you know, I take it as a, you know, as a family, you know, they're my sponsors, you know, and I got a contract and, you know, nothing's going to change that, you know, unless I'm not doing the things that they want me to do, you know. And I feel like, you know, creating that, you know, that little, you know, competitive thing between us, I don't think it's going to help. Like, in a way, we're doing like, oh, we want to do a trip with everyone, you know, or just getting a trip. Someone's trying to be more and, you know, like, it gets in a, you know, in a situation which everyone is uncomfortable. I'm not like that, you know. I just, you know, I try to get everyone together and, you know, everyone to be really happy. And, you know, whoever gets the best photo, he got the best photo, it was his day, and or got the best clip, you know, whatever. I just want to surf and, you know, do really good for them. But, you know, it's... They're always super cool, you know, Michelle, Julian, Ace, Kolohe, you know, all the guys, they're always super, super fun and super friendly, especially with me, you know, that came from Brazil, living here, probably the youngest one on the team. They, you know, they really took me as a family, you know. So that was really cool.
And it was such an interesting sequence of events, right? Because the teams combined in the end of the year, and then right at the start of 2012, they announced they signed John, which is like, whoa, this is already a really big team, and now you've got John. But you and John seem like you're really close. Like, he, when he was filming A View from a Blue Moon, like, he made an effort, but part of the plan was going to Brazil, and you guys filmed a segment together. Like, what's your relationship like to John?
Oh, yeah. It was actually really cool to be a part of that. He, you know, when he... called me to do that, I was like, hey man, you want to be a part of the movie? I was like, oh yeah, for sure, man, of course. And I think that trip really got us super close to each other. You know, it was just me and him. You know, there was no other surfer together. So it was my chance to really get to know him and him to get to know me. And, you know, we're just sharing experiences and surfing and pushing each other. And, you know, it was a trip, like, really, really fun and, you know, productive, I want to say. And since that trip, you know, we're always texting and talking to each other, surfing, you know, whenever we had a chance, and filming together. You know, my filmer got really close to his filmer. You know, they were like, you know, texting each other as well. And, you know, and I think he's kind of like me, you know, always in the good vibes and trying to get everyone together, trying to make everyone happy and caring about people. And I think that's why we're like, you know, we kind of got together about that.
You know, I think knowing John a little bit, like, I think he really thrives when he's around people that he knows do something better than him, you know, and he's not been shy about praising how fast you surf and how progressive you are and obviously your aerial abilities, and he feeds off of that. And I think, you know, a lot of times in the past, you see a lot of people qualify for the tour and they go, I did it. I'm a world-class surfer. But it's such a huge level jump between the QS to the CT. And you compare that with someone like Adriano and others. And Adriano qualifies and he goes, no, I have a lot to learn. You know, like, I'm not a complete surfer. And he develops this incredible power-based game. And he spends, you know, the winter living with Jamie O'Brien and then wins the Pipe Masters, you know. Is that how you approach surfing too? Do you try to drive off of people that you think, oh, maybe that part of the surfing I can work on? Is that?
Yes, you know, definitely. It's something that I, you know, try to do every day, is improve and try to get better at everything I do, you know, especially surfing. And I know I'm not the best surfer in the world, you know, for people, you know, being fans, there's like, oh, you're the best surfer in the world, you know, like, okay, yeah, I could be really good at what I'm doing right now, but there's a lot to learn still and a lot to improve. You know, like, being honest here, I don't know when the next Catalyst is coming. I mean, I'm not the next Catalyst, you know, that's for sure. That's a fact. And it's, you know, it's one in a million that, you know, comes to win 11 world titles. But, you know, I know I have the potential to win world titles, and, you know, I know what I need to get better, what I need to improve. And that's what I think people, when qualify, you know, when they get on tour, they look, you know, at their surfing and they go like, okay, there's like 5 points I need to improve. You know, here are the 5 points. Okay, I'm going to go trail pool, spend like a month. I'm going to go to, you know, a pipeline. If it's rail work, go bells, go J-Bay, you know, you go try and improve every day. You try new boards, and, you know, there's a lot of things that can actually improve. And Adriano, it's a good example of that, you know, he spent like 4 months in Hawaii, 5 months in Hawaii, pretty much surfing with the best, you know, out there. And, you know, hard work pays off. You won the world title and Pipe Masters.
Manduka was founded in 1997 with the simple idea that a better yoga mat could make a world of difference. For generations, Manduka has revolutionized the yoga space by providing purposely crafted products that enable a more joyful practice, whatever that looks like for you. The collaboration between Manduka and Jerry Lopez honors Jerry's profound dedication to both surfing and yoga disciplines. The limited edition collection showcases Jerry's signature camouflage print inspired by his surfboards. It fuses his iconic surf style with Manduka's commitment to quality and sustainability, offering everyone a unique expression of their practice. We all know that having the right gear is essential, and a yoga mat is no different. Feel the benefits of yoga with Manduka's soulfully engineered, eco-friendly products designed to inspire your practice wherever you go. The Manduka and Jerry Lopez collection want to inspire you to practice yoga however you choose to. And from now until June 10th, you will get 15% off of all products when you visit manduka.com with the code THELINEUP15. That's manduka.com, code THELINEUP15.
It, it does happen a lot. Like, I think a lot of times, especially because there's more attention on surfing now, surfers from the previous generation, people presume like they were complete surfers when they arrived. But, you know, Mick and Joel openly admit that when they were rookies, they couldn't backhand barrel ride, you know, and they did what you said. You know, they would go to Chopu and spend 4 to 6 weeks outside the event.
Well,
and
I mean,
just get comfortable.
That's the only way you can actually improve surfing, you know.
Yeah.
It's being in the ocean, spending time out there. There's no other way. Like, it's not watching clips on the internet that you're gonna get good. You know, you gotta be out there. You gotta surf, and because every wave is gonna be different. You know, every day is gonna be different. It's not the wrench. You know, that wave is every wave is gonna be perfect, and you can actually try the next one, and get better. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, at the ocean, it's something different. Tides and winds and everything. So you gotta spend time out there.
Do you think you're the fastest surfer in the world?
I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard to say that, but...
I'll say it. I know I'm not the only one. But on that note, I remember vividly your rookie year, because you've had these seismic moments in your career, and we've talked a lot about them. And I mean, in one, even in the qualifying year, I remember you doing like 8-foot backhand rotation at Merriweather, like, and people like lost their minds. You were in the orange wetsuit and everyone's God. So I think people always knew that you were a complete game changer as far as aerial surfing. But I remember your rookie year, we were at Bell's and I think it was sort of, it was clean, but kind of small, like maybe 3 to 4 foot ring con. And people were like, oh, I don't remember who you had, but people were like, oh, I don't think he's an air guy. But because you're so fast, people were blown away by your rail game. Like, would you consider speed like one of your greatest assets, whether it's in the air or on the face?
Yes, you know, I agree with you. It's what I try to do in the wave, you know, go as fast as I can. And with that, you know, have the flow to, you know, go through turns and not digging the rail and, you know, making sure I have enough speed to do a big turn and at the same time gets more speed at the bottom, you know, so I have enough speed up there at the lip. So I think that's, you know, that's something really hard to have enough speed to, you know, like go as fast, you know, as you can, and people look at it as like, oh my God, he's so fast, you know, and then at the same time have the flow, you know, to go between turns. And I think that's one, you know, major point of my surfing right now.
Yeah. I mean, in speed in surfing or competitive surfing used to be associated with that surfer's really fast, look, he did 20 turns.
Yeah.
But now it's like that surfer's so fast, he's doing like 5 massive turns.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the judging criteria has done a good job over the last decade of rewarding power and innovation and just seeing like the best surfing as opposed to quality over quantity.
Yeah, for sure. I felt like it's funny to watch, you know, like especially J-Bay, you know, if you watch Mick Fanning doing like 4 huge carves and then you see like another guy, you know, blowing the tail, coming like 1 carve floater, you know, hitting the lip and, you know, just like little reverse. And then you go like, well, it's like way cooler to watch Mick doing like 4 huge turns and then, you know, see the guy hitting the leap and, you know, like doing reverses at J-Bay. And then you hear the scores like score way higher for Mick Fanning than the other guy, you know. But I feel like sometimes it's definitely, you know, the rail surfing and the power and the old school style, you know, it definitely comes to play better than, you know, like some of the other surfing, you know, just like tricky surfing, I want to say.
Yeah.
But of course, depends on conditions as well, you know.
You mentioned before that, you know, Kelly's sort of a unique, like 1 in a million people's ever going to do this, probably a bigger number. But, you know, every year there's tens of thousands of kids that compete, like in junior, right? And a very small percentage of them ever even compete on the QS. And then an even smaller percentage ever qualify. And then an even tinier percentage ever even win an event.
Yep.
And you've won a bunch of CT events. There's a big difference between that big group and someone who can win the CT. Like that's really special.
Yeah, you know, even nowadays there's people that have been on the tour forever and haven't won the CTs yet.
Yeah.
And
there were always people like that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually really, really hard.
Yeah.
You know, and it was definitely really special for me. And you know, I actually never thought about that. You know, it's funny to think about that right now and just really like, oh, I've won like what, 7, 8 already? And it's just like, whoa, there's people here like been 10 years on tour and they never won one. And yeah, it's beyond grateful, you know, and blessed to win a couple events and to actually be, you know, what, 2 years in a row now fighting for world title. And it's hard. It's so hard. You know, as you said, coming from the QS, you know, it's a totally different venue environment to, you know, like you surf QS is like 4 or 5 foot waves that you struggle sometimes, which is like super windy and bad and, you know, like not the best conditions. And you got on tour, there's going to be one event that's going to be really bad sometimes, but sure. Most of it, it's going to be perfect waves, you know, like pumping. They always choose the best days. And we got like 10 days waiting period that we can choose the best day. And how that guy that been on the QS for like 10 years, you know, going to get there on the first year winning event. So hard to do that. Yeah. And that guy that can actually do that, you know, he's a really good surfer, you know, yeah. To adapt, you know, from one thing that he was so used to do to just a completely different new thing, you know, like new criteria, new way of surfing, new yeah. waves and different routine and all that, you know. But that was actually a big thing for me, you know, because I know, you know, I was being honest with me, and when I qualified I was like, am I ready to do that, you know, right. like
yeah. And you were like, seven
I was 16 to 17 yeah
yeah that's yeah. young man
yeah so I was like, well I don't think I'm ready to do that. You know, like Mick Fanning was surfing, Andy Aaron surfing, Joel, you know, Kelly. I was like, frick, you know, what I'm doing here. And I was just like, okay, I'm just, you know, going to surf and try to improve and watch them and see what's going on and just try to learn, you know. And that's what I did, you know, because I had so many people just like, oh, you're not ready. You're not going to last 1 year in there. And I was like, man, I don't need to hear that, you know. I'm going to do it for myself, not for you guys. And I did it. You know, I survived the first year.
Yeah.
And the second year was better. Third year was a little better. You know, like just improving every year. And now, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a complete surfer, but I feel like from this year, like today and, you know, first year I got on tour, I'm like 200% better.
You know, I mean, you're also, because you qualified 16, 17, you're yeah. also physically becoming like a man.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's a big deal.
Growing
like,
muscles and getting heavier and training and all
and you
that.
Have to calibrate your equipment because you're getting yeah. bigger and you kind of yeah. just have to settle into that. I think that that's one of the big things that is unappreciated is the level that jumps between the QS and the CT. Like even yeah. before I was working here, I was like an asshole because it's like you yeah. watch the events and you're like, number 44 sucks.
Not watching his eat.
But and then you go and you like, you know, and then I get a job and I'm like, I better be nice. And you go out and you surf with them and
yeah.
That's the best surfer I've ever seen in my life.
God, what is he doing in the water?
It's crazy. Just, yeah, it's it is insane. Crazy. Do you think there is maybe a level between the top five and the rest of the 34? Do you feel like it's one of those things where on any given day, anyone can beat anyone else?
I think, you know, what makes that difference, you know, it's the start of the year sometimes, you know, that first half, you know, the ranking starts really good and, you know, a couple wins, semifinals, final. And then by the middle of the year, you know, there's that 5 or 6 guys that kind of projecting for a world title race. And I think, you know, what makes the difference, it's how you absorb that pressure that all those people looking at you and sucking your energy in some way, asking you to do a lot or, you know, just cheering for you in a way that you're like, oh my God, I gotta do it. You know, I gotta do it. I gotta better be good. I gotta win an event. And that's when the best one's gonna win the world title, you know, like psychologically sane, you know.
I think it's really similar. Andy Irons said this a long time ago. He said, everyone wants you to win your first world title.
Yep.
And as soon as you do, everyone wants you to lose. And it's probably you can apply that to being in the front.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the front right now.
Yeah.
Do you like being in the front or do you like to be hunting?
You know, it's a hard question. Everyone wants to be number one position. But once you get there and then you actually feel how gnarly it is to be number one.
Spotlight.
Yeah. You know, you have a target on your back. Everyone's trying to hit that target. You're just like, oh my God, you know, I gotta go, gotta go, gotta make heat. You know, yeah.
You gotta do more press. You gotta yeah. do more sponsor things.
There's so many more obligations that you gotta do, you know, and that's what I did to myself last year, I think. Mm. You know, I put so much pressure on my back and you're just like, I have to make hits. I have to win this event. Just watching, you know, the other guys eat, just like, oh my God, he's gonna make it. And then be mad that he make his heat. I was like, what? You know, like this year, and then I did that. I was like, why I was doing that? You know, so dumb, you know, like, and I mean, this year, it don't really matter being number one or being number two or three. What really matters to me, it's surf. And if I'm happy, you know, if I'm not happy, it doesn't really matter. you know, if I'm number one and I'm just like struggling, just like psychologically, just, oh man, you know, like, oh, you're not living life, you know, not enjoying surfing the way I actually do every time I'm free surfing. And that's what I'm doing this year, just taking that pressure off, just like relaxing and surfing and enjoying and actually being happy for my, you know, the other competitors, not just for the Brazilian or my friends, you know, just for the other guys, just like, oh man, that was sick. That wave was insane. He should have made that heat. And you're just like, you know, cheering for them. And as soon as I start doing that, everything started working way better for me. The answer for a question is like, I don't really matter being number one or being number three. It feels good to be number one, of course. Have that yellow jersey. You know, I think I look cool in yellow. I think sometimes being the underdog, it's kind of more, you know, like more relaxing, you know, position to like, okay, I don't got nothing to lose, you know, sure. And just going to go out there and smash that guy and be number one. Yeah. But, you know, it's hard when you're number one, you actually feel that pressure.
But as you said too, like you've learned something, you're always learning things, you know, and it sounds like you've at least analyzed last year and now you're applying that to this year.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one more thing because family is something that's come up a lot and it's something that's super important to you.
Yep.
And you're a father now. Explain to me a little bit about your motivation in terms of performance, both in competition, out competition, just as a surfer, before and after becoming a father.
You know, when you're single and you don't have kids or a wife or none of these obligations, you're just like, okay, I'm cruising, I'm surfing, enjoying life. If I want to do a surf trip, I'll do a surf trip. Or, you know, like, okay, I got my mom and dad here, but they're all saddle, you know, I got them, they're really good, they're living their lives. And once you have a wife and two kids and house and, you know, all these obligations, you're like, okay, now it's game on. And you look at your kid every time you come back from contest and you have like 4 days at home, you're just like, oh man, I'm going again, you know, like, and you're just that energy when you're home, when you have your kids with you, you know, you do it for them. It's no matter what's going to happen, you're going to do it for them. And, you know, it's funny sometimes for me, you know, like 3 minutes remaining, I still need a score, I'm losing. And, you know, I just close my eyes, think about them. You're just like, you get that energy from them. They're at home and just that energy comes from home, you know. It's just like, okay, let's go, it's still like a minute and a half now, I, you know, I can get the score. And you know, it's something different. It's family, man. Family changes you. And, you know, being a father, there's so many things that I'm scared of to do right now, you know, like just even surfing, competing, you know, like Tahiti. I was like, man, what if something happens to me, you know, I'm not gonna see my family again. And but at the same time, you're like, I'm here doing for them, and okay, I'm gonna go, you know. It's like, but it's really fun, man. It's amazing. There's nothing that I wanted more to be in my life than being a dad and having, you know, a family to take care of and a family to take care of me on the hard times. And you know, and actually when I get back home, I'm not going places trying to find people and parties and all that. I just go home and I know I have my really happy place over there. You know, it's something awesome, really man. Special.
All right. Before you go, we're gonna do the lightning round.
All right.
All right.
What is it? I'm scared.
You should be. Okay. Lightning round questions. So 10 questions. You answer them as fast as you can.
Okay.
One board setup for the rest of your life. Single fin, twin fin, thruster, quad, bonzer, or finless?
Twin fin.
Twin fin.
Twin fin.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Burrito or pizza?
Damn, son. Come on. I go pizza. Brazilian pizza.
Oh, what's the difference?
They're much more filling in it.
Oh,
yeah. It's like proper. Right. You should try one in Brazil.
Doesn't Jadson have a pizza company?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Okay, I'll ask him.
He gets pizza for free, man.
I'm going to ask him.
I know.
Last book you read?
I don't even remember.
Best surf film ever?
Best surf film ever? 3 Degrees.
One wave you never have to go back to?
I've never have to go back to?
One wave you don't want to go back to.
Okay, that took too much already. I don't know.
If you only get to surf one wave for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. J-Bay.
J-Bay. Best person to share a lineup with?
The War 2 surfer?
Worst person to share a lineup with?
Oh, God. Okay, I'll go back. I'll go back on the first question.
Best person to share a lineup with?
Okay, my brother.
Worst person to share a lineup with?
A War 2 surfer.
That is a consistent answer. Last one. Finish this sentence. I will next achieve a state of happiness by…
winning a world title.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
So that's it. That's the re-air of the Lineups Conversation with Felipe Toledo from 2019. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to watch Felipe and the rest of the world's best surfers battle it out in the conclusion of the Vivo Rio Pro. The event will stream live on WorldSurfLeague.com and the WSL app. Do not miss it. We'll be back following the conclusion of the event. Until then, stay safe and get some waves. WSLStore.com is powered by Shopify. We love the analytics we can check on the go. A lot of us are addicted to checking the Shopify app on our phones. We also love the automations and marketing integrations with our social and YouTube channels. It has incredible features to help us manage our global audience, including international taxation support and great shipping optionality. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/lineup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/lineup now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/lineup.